Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Transform Emotions into Energy. This is round five. It's amazing that I get to do this for another year, and I'm so happy to be back. My name's Allison Bachmeyer, and Transform Emotions into Energy began 5 years ago in honor of Mental Health Month, as well as giving people some basic information around the emotions. We'll also be doing some work utilizing primarily body talk, which is the bulk of my training in energy medicine. And as we get into things, essentially the sessions will run about 60 minutes to 75 minutes or so ish. And on the final day, which is June 3rd, Saturday, June 3rd, we will be doing a integration session. That's going to take a little bit longer because we're going to be utilizing a different modality, which I'll be primarily working with breath work in that one. So for that one, I need a little bit more time to get the job done per se. And as we work in these first six sessions, there's going to be more time spent with energy work, which doesn't take quite as long. So the time will be just a little bit shorter for the first six sessions. Okay. Our schedule is posted, so know that the days and the times do alternate a little bit. That's in part to accommodate traditional North American business hours, as much as it is also to accommodate folks from overseas who are joining us. And that way, some of them might be able to join at different times. Some of them might be able to join the 11 a.m. time, Mountain Time here, or the 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And I do apologize for the international folk. I'm still learning the UTC definition on how we can refer to time zone. My own time zone math is a little dismal, so I'm going to stick with mountain for right now and know that that's a traditional North American reference to Canada and the US. So I apologize if you needed to do a little bit of extra leg work to figure out your time zone in relationship to the UTC. All right, y'all. Without further ado, I'd love to get rolling with some of that juicy information for today. Thank you all for being here. And I know many of you are listening to the recordings and know that the recordings you'll have lifetime access to. So for those that are joining live or listening to the recordings, you'll actually be able to replay them. What that also means is you don't have to furiously take notes of everything that I might be saying. That might sound really interesting because the replay will be available. And if you are someone that likes to learn by taking notes, feel free, but know that it won't necessarily be required. And I welcome you just to kick back, sit back, and take some time to really just sink into your seats and be with this information. Okay. So on that note, before we even get into anything information-wise, I'd love to do just a little bit of resourcing. So I'm going to invite you, if you're open to scanning your external environment, I'm going to invite you to take a moment to look up, down, all around in 3D directions. And as your gaze wanders, the invitation is to let it land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. Letting the gaze land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And when it lands there, when you found that thing that's pleasant, beautiful, easeful, joyful to be with, noticing what it is you like the most about this thing. Noticing what it is you like the most. It might be the shape or the size. Could be the color, colors. Maybe it's the way the light and the shadow play together as it dances around this object that you've landed on. And whatever it is that you're enjoying the most in this moment, I invite you to savor that, much like you might a really fine meal, to drink that energy in and to receive it as the nourishment that it very well may be. And as you drink that in, the invitation is to imagine that you can actually breathe that inside of you. Breathing that all the way through you. Beginning to notice what's happening inside of you as you drink this nourishment in. What's happening in your body, in your mind? Just noticing. And as you notice what's happening inside of you, if any of that is pleasant, useful, beautiful, joyful to be with, I invite you to savor that too, to receive this as the nourishment that it is as well for you. While you do that, I'm going to offer my thanks. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you to all of those that have contributed to this one sweet moment of connection that we get to share together as a group in these ways. The synchronicity of all the things that have had to line up for us all to be here together in this way is not small. So thank you. Thank you to your villages that have allowed you to be here in this way today. And thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all, that have nourished all of those that have come before us, and to all that will come after us. Thank you. Thank you for the sustenance of life itself. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace. 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 Blessings as we journey together today. As I mentioned, I'm going to start off with just a little bit of information, and today's focus is on transforming fear into healthy action. I'm going to valiantly attempt to keep the information sharing, the talking time, down to the 20-minute mark or so, and then we'll be underway with the session. And as I talk about the transformation of fear and on the rest of the emotions for that matter, I'm going to be doing it primarily through the lens of Chinese medicine and body talk. Body talk is heavily steeped in Chinese medicine. And for those of you that are new to body talk, you can learn a whole lot more about it on my website, vibranttransformation.com. And I'll pop the link in here in just a moment for you. And there's a series of videos where you can learn even more about body talk, if you'd like more of the theoretical, practical side of information. I'm not going to spend too much time going into that territory, but for those of you that might be a bit newer to me and new to body talk, know that you can learn a whole lot about it right there. As I carry into our first element, water element is what we're going to work with, as the water element processes fear. And it does so by working with the ears. Our ears are the processing center for a lot of things, including obviously hearing information, as well as the kidney and in bladder to an extent, but in particular the kidney meridian. The kidney and the bladder meridian are both governed underneath the water element. And they both collectively, much as water does, helps us to get right to the very core of things. So, and whenever we need to get right down to the core of things, water element is the way to go. And it tends to rule our nervous system, along with our bones, the fluid in our bodies, and it stores our vitality. It stores our absolute essence. The very thing that makes us us is stored at the very core of our being. This is all related here. And it's no surprise that we're working with fear here, as fear is about the very core of our survival. Fear, just like all the other emotions, is actually meant to do healthy things for us. The only time it doesn't is when we make it personal or we think that that thing that's fearful means something about us. So when we begin to personalize emotions, our energy, E, motion is one way of spelling that. And it would translate to being energy in motion. The energy emotion that's meant to go with fear is it's meant to draw you to your core to listen, to see, is this actually a healthy, practical action that will work well for me? So it's helping us to listen to that inner guidance really deeply. Fear, as I mentioned, as it gives rise to practical, healthy action, would do things like making sure that we don't step in front of a bus or put our hand into a flame because we know obviously that that's not going to be useful. So fear is meant to do those sorts of things. That's what we mean by healthy, practical action. So let me get into the kidneys and the bladder a little bit more. And as I'm laying the landwork, the groundwork for some of this, know that we're likely going to be revisiting some of these concepts quite experientially when we get into the energy work side of things. Now, the kidneys. The kidneys are thought to be a reservoir of like essential energy that goes right into the very roots of our life. They store all of our original prenatal energy that has another name, fancy name Chinese medicine, is the Wan Qi. The Wan Qi is, well, we store it in our buttocks. So for those of us with a juicy booty, that's actually a good sign that we have some solid Wan Qi happening here. And this is thought to form the basis of life. Now, it's okay if you don't have a juicy booty too. Your Wan Qi is still there doing its thing. And I always just like making that reference because some people, and especially in our modern day society, get down on the size of things. And there's another way to do some of these things sometimes. The kidney, for all intents and purposes, includes other things and includes, from a Chinese medicine sense, our testes, our ovaries, and our adrenals. So it gives us a bit of clue, a bit of clues, I should say, in terms of what we understand the kidney meridian to encompass, including the capacity for reproduction. Our vitality is our sexual vitality here, indicates our healthiness and also will interplay with the capacity for our immune system to function well. This immune system works primarily with things like acceptance and rejection. If we were to look at the adrenal side of things, this also ties into immunity, but even more so, it regulates our metabolism. It helps to also work to a degree with our sexual potency and fertility. And in general, the entire kidney meridian is really, really good at bridging what are referred to as the 12 basic meridians with the 8 extra meridians. And for those of you that have been with me in Buddhas and Butterflies over this last year, and I'll talk a bit more about what that is in a moment, the 8 extra meridians, as you know, we've been navigating those. The crossover point between the 12 and the 8 happens here. And it regulates as well our genetic code. So genetic issues tie into the kidney meridian. If you were to look at the shape of the actual kidney itself, it looks almost like a little baby in the womb. It looks like an early stage fetus. And it also mimics, you see that shape mimicked actually in a few places. The ears mimic that shape. So no surprise that the ears are tied in. As well as the cortices of our brain, or the cortex of our brain, as we may say in this part of the world. In Australia, they tend to call it cortices, and the founder of Body Talk was Australian, so I still lapse into the Australian way of saying things instead of the North American, if you're wondering where that comes from. And in addition to all of those things, it is our core energy system. It supports the genes, the brain function, our general health, our energy and our nutrients for maintaining our healthy brain structures. And it filters that waste as well from our blood. And as it filters the waste from our blood, it's going to pass it on to the kidney's partner in crime, which is the bladder. And the bladder then excretes things. The combination of these two ends up regulating our fluid balance, along with our large intestine, it plays a role too. And it also regulates how acidic or alkaline, what our pH is in our system. And your pH determines a whole lot of things. I always have to restrain myself from going into all the little tangents, but pH is probably one of the most critical factors when it comes to the basis of all of our health and disease processes. And that starts here, as our kidneys help to filter out and or retain our minerals. It'll decide where our pH ends up landing. Now, the kidney meridian is really sensitive to a couple of things. It's really sensitive to excess stress and really sensitive to times around sexual things that may have not gone well for you in your past. And that even includes all the way into the realm of sexual abuse. If there's been a lot of hits in that department in your experiences of your life, then what we tend to see is in that registering in the kidney meridian and decreasing your vitality. It can also show up with immune system issues and can cause a whole lot of array of health, niggly health things that no one seems to quite know how to address. It's often tied into here. Okay. So in body talk, we actually see none of those things as overly separate. We're going to work with them one and the same to address everything simultaneously. So as we go into this, we will be working in the territories of everything from supporting the health of your bones, as the kidney meridian works with the nourishing of the marrow and the bones, which ties into the ancestral lines. It also works with the source of your blood, and that's also your red and your white blood cells alike. So the kidney goes right into the very core of bone and blood itself. So if we're prone to weak kidneys, we might be prone to blood issues like anemia or blood cancers. If we're prone to weak kidneys, we might even have some issues with our bones and issues with osteoporosis, those sorts of things. The spine and the brain are forms of that bone marrow. And we're taking a few liberties here. So as a result of that, the kidney meridian, if it's deficient in some way, ends up landing us in the territory of not being able to think very clearly. We might be prone to backaches. We might be prone to poor memory. And the other thing that the kidney vitality is associated with, which I think is fascinating, is the condition of our hair. Your hair is a reflection of your vitality. Okay. I could say a whole lot more about this, but I'm going to skip a few things that I have in my notes that feel so pressing to share with you. But anyways, I'm going to self-talk my way through that and let you know that the kidney chi is also really strongly associated along with the liver in forming the Taji pole. The Taji pole is thought to be that crossover between the meridians and the chakras and where these two dance together and how they intertwine is informed primarily by the strength of your kidney and your liver as well. We're going to be talking about the liver and the gallbladder like in tomorrow's session, in the anger session. Okay. So in essence, this houses our willpower as well. It helps to store our capacity, our drive for strength, our capacity and our drive to be able to work well and hard. And when disharmony shows up in that way, we may end up compulsively overworking, or we may end up going to the other side and thinking, oh, I don't have the strength to do this. I just can't go on anymore. And as we continue to work with the kidney strength and the bladder strength and their chi flow, it will also show up in how we manage our fear. And that goes all the way down into the ancestral lines, as I've alluded to in a couple different ways. So the ancestral lines are primarily accessed through, I'm always wearing not quite the right thing for showing off this, but let me take that off. The kidney 27 points hang out roughly about there or so. They're known as the ancestral spiritual burial grounds. And some people actually believe that those meridian channels of the kidney in particular that go through the ribcage region are tied into those ancestral spiritual burial grounds. So this is how, when we work with Chinese medicine approaches, we tie in that understanding of the kidney meridian to the ancestors. And I imagine that'll be showing up later on today, but we'll see what shows up in our session for the group. While I'm talking about points, and I'm sort of nearby in those areas, the one that we use a lot in body talk is kidney 24 points. The kidney 24 points are also known as the switching reflex points, and they hang out roughly around here. In brain gym, they're called the brain gym buttons. In breath work trainings, and depending upon who you studied with, they're associated with the compassion centers to an extent. I'm taking a lot of liberties and intertwining a bunch of things, but I always think it's fascinating when multiple modalities tie in information pieces to one particular set of points. That means there's something usually worth really knowing about those points. So the kidney 24 points help to cope with stress, they help to deal with our stressors. Charlie needed backup. And as we continue to strengthen the kidney meridian and through all the different points, and you'll hear me talk about a few more as we get into things, know that they also support our very breath, speaking of breath work. They support our inhale. Without the kidneys, it's really hard to get any vibrancy to the inhale. Without the kidney strength supporting that, the air doesn't quite go down to where it needs to be to energetically work throughout the system. So the kidneys and the lungs are best buddies for sure. The ancestral energies will also have an influence on all of these expressions, of course, as well. So how do the ancestors survive? How do the ancestors breathe? All of those issues that they may have faced and overcome become stored wisdom for your system to access. All of the issues that they face and didn't quite conquer become also things that we get to explore, and we get to continue working out to bring resolution to the family lines, energetically speaking, in that way. Now, the general sense of consciousness is that the kidneys are associated with the willpower and the courage, not just to stay alive, but to do what's necessary. So if we feel overly fatigued or overly, again, kind of apathetic or just a sense of I can't do that, that's a sign that there's something up with the kidney. Okay? The tendency to, as we've already spoken about, reproduce, to propagate our species, as well as to overcome the fear of death and that will to stay alive is intertwined with that sense of willpower. And along with the pericardium, the kidneys will work with sensuality, giving us the capacity to feel good again. And the bladder, by contrast, rules more of our sexual energy. So if the kidney is sensual and yin, the bladder is more yang or masculine and sexual. Now, when I say yin and feminine and yang and masculine, know that those are two energies that are present roughly 50-50 in everybody, and how they express is always unique in terms of that expression. So know that that may show up in hundreds, thousands of different expressions of ways. And from a Chinese medicine sense, you may hear me overlap feminine and masculine as I say yin and yang quite heavily, but know that I'm pointing to that traditional understanding of how they term things way back when. Yeah. Okay, what else can I tell you? I have a lot to say about the muscles that are intertwined with this and the astrology of this. And I imagine this is going to come up a little bit more in the actual session. So let me move on to the bladder briefly and spend a few minutes on it before we get into that session. The bladder meridian, as we mentioned, works more with the healthy sexual energy, and it's going to work with its capacity to clear out. It helps to release what's no longer needed. It helps to release, in Chinese medicine terms, the impure, whether that is fluid that no longer needs to be in you or emotions that no longer need to be serving those old ways. Perhaps the fear that was generated to alert you to danger has now passed, and now we can actually release that and move forward. The bladder meridian is instrumental at releasing your anger to encourage that emotional expression. And another way I like to think of this is the best time to clean our house is when we're pissed off. Helps us to get moving with things. Am I right? Or am I right? My house always looks pristine after I've had a moment of anger run through me. The interesting thing about the bladder meridian is it actually works with anger and fear. It works with localized anger, which can tie into, if you think of where the bladder hangs out, right around the genitalia. All the times in which you've had sexual circumstances that may have not gone how you wanted them to, all of that localized anger can hang out in and around that region, along with the sense of feeling pissed off primarily. So who is most close to you in your intimate relationships, and all any of their actions, even if it's outside of the bedroom, can show up here as being held as a form of, again, localized anger. In those cases, we might be more prone to things like chronic urinary infections, chronic bladder infections. The thing that goes on with the bladder meridian as well is, I should mention briefly, where the bladder meridian runs. This will make more sense. It starts in the inner corner of the eye and it goes around the back of the head, goes through on either side of the spine, all the way down the side of the spine into the buttocks region and encompasses the buttocks, and it goes right down the center of the leg and the back body and out to the outer edge of the foot. Now, the bladder meridian governs our neck and our low back, as well as the kidney does to an extent. Whenever we have chronically stiff necks, the question that I always love to ask people is who or what is the pain in your neck? And the interesting thing is, from a breathwork perspective, is that pain in the neck that we are working with people is often associated with a judgment that's stored in the other portion of the bladder meridian that hangs out in our buttock region. And as we know from a breathwork perspective, as we balance out the judgments from our buttocks, we typically also work with the acceptance points in the back of the skull, where the bladder meridian also encompasses heavily. So the bladder meridian governs, in general, our nervous system, our sense of control, and our reproduction. Okay. That's the big summary of the bladder meridian. If we have an imbalance here, it can show up as being in just the habit of fear, and we might be prone to not making really strong decisions. We might have a lack of decision-making capacity, and we might even have a tendency to get really jealous about things, really suspicious. We might have a tendency to hang on to really long-standing grudges, and that jealousy and the suspicion, especially if it's coupled with the anger and the fear, and sexuality issues or intimate relationship issues can have quite a hit on the overall vitality of the system. It's associated with, in astrology, the seventh house, meaning it works with the essences of Libra, of Venus. It works with harmony and order and affection, which can all get disrupted if our bladder is off. And my favorite thing to talk about the bladder meridian is that the first point hanging out in the inner corner of the eye is meant to help you see the present moment with clarity. Helps us to see the present moment with clarity. Okay, so those are just a few basics about fear and how we see it from a Chinese medicine perspective. I'm going to invite you, if you haven't already now, to make your way to a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay for the session. And as we get into this, I want to let you know if you are joining me from my breathwork community and you have a strong breathwork, or even if it's not from my community and you have a strong breathwork practice, you are welcome to go into breathwork, but know that I won't be facilitating breathwork today. I will on the very last day of these. And you're welcome to honor your own sense of what might feel right for you within that all. Okay. So as I invite you to get comfy and cozy, making any shifts, any adjustments, and settling in just a little deeper here. I'm going to invite you to connect to your breath in any way that feels right. And if at any point while we're working together, you feel like you need an extra little bit of resource or we're edging into territory that doesn't feel quite okay to be with, begin to turn your attention back to that resource that you found when we first started. And in fact, you're welcome to land there again if it feels right for you. Or you may locate something different. And as we breathe, every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space, to allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that too. As we start off today's session, we're going to start off with lymphatic circulation. And we see everything in body talk as a metaphor. We see the lymph as being a metaphor for clearing out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And as we work with this, we're going to flush it through the entire central nervous system, that brain, that spine, including the head brain, also the enteric nervous system, fancy word for the gut brain, along with the part of your body that actually has the most nerve cells, which is your heart. And as we work with lymphatic circulation through your nervous system, this comes up so often in body talk, we have a pet name for it. We call it brain drain. And it's meant to help flush out the old, making space for the new. And I see this as releasing those particular stressors that are associated with being connected to living in modern day lifestyles. Whether that's the separation in our own little unique cubicles that we hang out from work to home to car, whether that's the sense of lack of community, or wherever else it might be showing up in your system, however it is today in this moment, cleaning out that stressor of modern day life and lifestyles. That might even be the sort of go-go-go vibe that we have in our world, the hustle culture, as it's often referred to as. And as we run lymphatic circulation through the head brain, the gut brain, the heart brain, and all of your nervous system, we're going to follow it up with hydration, which helps the cells to take in water. And again, there's a metaphor here, helps to take in joy. And as it does so, releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. And then we're going to link this all, interestingly enough, into the seventh house, which is the house of the bladder. The bladder meridian is the house of partnerships, of relationships that I referred to earlier. So as we clean out the old stressors of modern day lifestyle, what shows up in capacity for us to be in relationship with others, to partner with others? Whether that's professional partnerships, whether that's personal partnerships, whether that's relationships with friends, family, anybody in between, there might be more space available. As we land here, working with, in particular, bringing in the energy of the planet Venus. As we bring in Venus, which is known for its capacity for social connection and a fear of solitude, we're actually releasing the fear of being alone, the fear of being alone. And that fear of being alone is actually coming out from the area just below the navel, the umbilicus region there. And this is not an uncommon place for this sort of thing to show up. And if it feels right, you can even place a hand there and breathe into it. And we're actually going to circulate all the healing resources through to this area just below the navel. And here we're working with circulation of blood that carries our passion, nerve that carries our communication. Lymph that again cleans out those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Also working with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also bringing in the sounds, the colors, and the frequencies of all the chakras, the seven majors and the 21 minors. All of them, and it's okay if you don't know what any of those are. And as we work with this, we're also going to circulate endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids. Endocannabinoids lower inflammation, they lower anxiety, depression, they help our nervous and our immune system, and for that matter, most of our body mind to heal. We're going to also circulate the overall balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine energy. And we're going to run one more hydration here. Helping again this region to take in water and joy and release all that's no longer serving. And as that flushes out, running the permissions, that connection is safe. Connection is safe. In body talk, we would call it a permissions. In breath work, we would call it an affirmation. So whatever your community you're joining me from, excuse me. You can think of those words as interchangeable for all intents and purposes for when I'm using them. And as we work with that, We're linked this all now into, interestingly enough, the sixth house, which in astrology is about giving rise to taking practical action in alignment with our body and our mind. And that in turn is connecting into the base chakra region. The base chakra hangs out at our perineum. So if we were sitting cross-legged on the earth, it would be the part of us that's closest to the earth. Or another way I could say that is it's the space between either vagina or testes and anus. And in that perineum space where this chakra hangs out, we have arguably some of our most powerful acupuncture points. The governing and the conception vessel one points begin here. The governing goes up the midline of the back body, the conception up the midline of the front body. And as these two circulate through the back body, carrying yang energy, through the front body, carrying yin or masculine and feminine energy. There's a sense of through the back body carrying the energy of, as yang tends to do, protection. And the sense of carrying up through the front body as the yin tends to do, nourishment. What would it mean to be sandwiched between protection and nourishment? If you can let your imagination wander into those spaces, how might it feel and be to be held lovingly in the space between protection and nourishment? And then we're going to link that all into the time when you were first conceived, as well as the time in which you were born. And these are not small times. These times tend to hold a lot of energy. And as we work with conception and birth, we can safely say we're in the realm of the perinatal. The perineal realm, from a body talk understanding, is where the seeds were planted of the majority of the lifetime things that you're going to be experiencing. This information is also echoed by Richard Rudd in the Gene Keys, for instance, for those of you who are familiar with that body of work, that the seeds of everything that begins in those first 9 months continue to grow throughout the remainder of your lifetime. And the particular juicy times you've noticed in body talk tend to be around conception and around birth. So it's no surprise that we're here when we're working with transforming fear. And it's no surprise that we're here as we look to survival things. And we're going to work primarily with the seeds of experiences that began in both those time frames, conception and birth, that tie into the iliopsoas muscle, which is a kidney muscle. The iliopsoas muscle is that one that runs between your low back and your hips that feels like you just get that weird backache sometimes that just won't relent. It can show up often from sitting at our desks and our cars for too long. And it's also the muscle that was meant to develop when you were a baby, shortly after you were born and in your first few, months of development. Well, a little later on, not quite infancy in the newborn stages, but a little later on when your mom or dad or whoever was taking care of you threw you on your hip. And your muscles were meant to actually engage to help you, almost like a monkey, hang on in a good way. So those iliopsoas muscles are often referred to as the final frontier of fear. So I'm not surprised that we're here within all of this. And if you've ever had a massage therapist sort of dig in there, it's that particular type of pain. If you've had it, you know what it is. It's a very unique sensation that happens there. And as one client said to me when I had a little bit of pressure there, I think I just saw the universe. And that was her word for God, for spirit, for creator, for the divine. So whatever your word might be there, I think I just saw the whole universe flash before my eyes. So this is a rich, juicy nerve-ending sensation that can go with this all. And on the left side of the iliopsoas is looking like we're working within the conception side. The right side is the birth stuff. So I'm going to start with the earliest stuff. I'm going to start with the conception stuff. I'm going to go to the left iliopsoas muscle. This is also known as your feminine muscle. It's on the right brain, left body is how that works together. The right brain is thought to be feminine. And as we work with the feminine iliopsoas, It's working with, in particular, issues related to the lineage that came before you in the mom's side of family, on the maternal side of the lineage. And as we work with this, we're going to also bring in Kidney 27 point that I mentioned works with the ancestral burial grounds. And we're going into the family lines several generations. We're going back 7 generations back on mom's side. And we're working here with an ancestor who had intense, and I mean intense, levels of I don't want to be here type of thinking. It may have shown up as depression or even suicidal ideation. And however that trickled down through the family lines, there was this intense desire to question existence itself and what was the point of it, and things feeling not just pointless, but also a sense of I'm here against my will and I can't do anything about it. So there's a sense of powerlessness and helplessness intertwined within that all. And as we release that through the iliopsoas level, through the musculature, we're also going to unwind the connective tissue, the fascia that's holding on to that. And for those of you who might be breathing into this, you can imagine the edges of that beginning to loosen up so that way it gets to become dispersed, it gets to go global. And as we release this from the left side, we're then going to turn our attention to the right iliopsoas. And this one's connected to dad's side. We're going to go back through the lineage on the paternal family side. And we're going back not quite as far, but almost 6 generations. And this is working with the emotional frequency of fear, not surprisingly. And from a trauma perspective, we might see fear show up through the lens of fight, flight, freeze, fawn, or people pleasing is what that means, disorientation. I'm also aware that the, I can never say their name properly, but the nightcap people, those people, also have added, they work with the psychological definitions of these things, have added a few more things to that list. So know that we're energetically including all of the lenses of fear here, but we are particularly working with the pattern of freeze that's shown up in dad's side of the family lines. And freeze is the, I'm just gonna hold really still and maybe no one will see me type of response. And you might have even seen this out in the wild. I know when I walk my dogs and whenever we see a gopher that can't quite make it back to their little hidey hole, they'll hold really still. And when the dogs get close enough that they think, uh-oh, they're on to me for sure now, the gopher will make a mad dash for the hole, which is very exciting for the dogs. And that would be an example of flight. But we're working more so with the freeze response here through dad's side of the family lines, going back a fair number of generations. And as we work with this, we're also clearing out the tendency to want to go into apathy within that. So the freeze response activates our, I'm going to use a bunch of fancy names, the dorsal leg of our vagus nerve. And that dorsal branch of the vagus nerve is often associated with hypoarousal or shutting down. So this is a pattern that's been stored for, well, quite a few generations, as I mentioned. And it tends to go with the shutting down to the point of not caring, to giving up, to isolating, to withdrawing. And if we could sum that up in a word, I'm going to call it apathy. So that's what I mean when I use that term in this particular context, in this particular setting, in this moment. And as we work to release apathy through this side, it's going with the belief systems of I should just give up, I don't care. And a tendency of, again, powerlessness. You can see how these two and why they likely have showed up at the same time, how they're interplaying and crossing over with each other, are even contributing to each other in their own ways. And this is showing up in the tendency for the bladder meridian, the yang side of things, to be a little bit more, as it does, weary and fatigued when it's off kilter. The word that's it's often associated with the bladder meridian when it's like this is lassitude, which simply means, well, weary or indifferent. Someone could also refer to that as apathy. And as we clean out all of those frequencies in this way, as we witness them, as we observe them, we're going to also be releasing them through that lineage, all the way through that right iliopsoas. And it's relating to, again, that moment of a birth. And this is actually tying into the times in which we were going through the birth canal, and then we paused. And then we, as babies do, they make a little bit of headway, and then they pause. They might even backslide a little bit, and they keep doing the inch forward pause. And the pause is meant to be restful and restorative. Yet if it's instead it's getting associated with shutdown, apathy, withdrawal, then it doesn't actually give us the rest that we need. It doesn't fortify us enough to be able to move forward in life. So where else is this pattern potentially showing up for you, where it feels like you're moving a little bit forward and then you're pausing, and even though you pause to take in time to rest and get nourished again, it's not quite doing the trick. And then you have like a chronic need to continue to move forward as life demands in its ways that we participate and show up through all of the obligations and ties and things that we have on our plates pull us into. Yet we end up over time getting really burnt out, serving from an empty cup, because there is not the capacity to actually receive that nourishment, to receive that fortification. And as we balance that out through the right iliopsoas, we're going to do a couple of things here. I invite you to imagine that you can breathe right into that area between the low back and the hip on that right side. And as we unwind the connective tissue that's holding some of these patterns in place here, we're also going to run a permission statement, which is simply this. What if you didn't need to be pissed off to protect yourself? What if you didn't need to be pissed off to protect yourself? Oh, what if underneath that there is actually room for a different way of being, for a way that was more easeful, more resourceful, more nourishing? As we release that particular habit pattern that got associated with that all around the birth thing that I fleshed out earlier, there is the capacity that's coming alive to actually step into life in a different way, from a place of actually being able to receive the nourishment on the other side of that habit pattern of being pissed off, to protect yourself, which happens for really good reasons, and which you learn to do for really, really good reasons. And now, as we find other ways of being here, we're going to link it into the connecting that into the bladder one point in the inner corner of the eye. And in the inner corner of the eye, it invites us to again see that present moment with clarity. And interestingly enough, we're going to link that through to the kidney one point. The kidney one point hangs out roughly on the bottom of the foot, right in the middle of it, roughly, a little closer towards the toes, maybe, not by much. And that kidney one point is meant to connect us to the earth. It's meant to release things that are agitating us, and also meant to be able to take in the maternal energy of the earth herself, Mother Earth, Gaia, Pachamama energy, is meant to rise up to nourish all the way through this kidney meridian. It's meant to rise all the way up, even into the bladder one point. And then the bladder one point is able to see more accurately the present moment with clarity. And as we connect these two, bladder ones to kidney ones, cleaning out the old ways that were informing us of how to navigate and keep ourselves protected and safe, and instead inviting in this energy flow of a new upward spiral, so to speak. And as we steep ourselves in this dance between the bladder and the kidney in supporting our health, our vitality in these ways, also running the permission statements. You have the right to pause and rest. You have the right to pause and rest. And as we do that, I'm also going to simultaneously work with two particular acupressure points. They're on the inside of the ear, and they work with our Shen, which gives rise to feeling good, feeling clear, feeling here. The Shen Men is the fancy name for those points. And they're roughly in the upper portions of the ear, but maybe in maybe a centimeter and a half or so. Forgive me for those of you who do inches, maybe about a half inch or so. Yeah. And as we work with the Shen Men here on the ears, linking that right back into the kidneys to again give rise to even more vitality to fortify what's been weak here. And also linking them in through to both of the iliopsoas muscles to also fortify those as well. And then for the iliopsoas muscles, we also need to release the need to cling or to hang on. And this is tying into however it is you learn to connect and attach to your caregivers. I'm not going to do a deep dive into attachment theory, although we could definitely spend a few hours on all of that. The idea here is however it is that you learned how to connect and how to interact socially in a way to get your needs met is coming in through here. And as we release those patterns, to whatever extent are ready to go, linking them all the way through to those kidney one points, again in the bottom of the soles of the feet, to release what no longer is serving, releasing all that's been inflaming and agitating the system into the earth below. In essence, offering it to Mother Earth as an opportunity to be reparented, remothered, to receive nourishment through the vibration of the earth itself, which transmits a frequency known as the Schumann resonance, and it's really quite slow. Mathematically, its hertz are very low, meaning it's actually a call to us to help slow things down, and it's a place where we actually get to pause and rest. Yeah, this is why it feels good to ground our feet onto the earth below. To, for all of us up here in Canada, anyways, it's always a celebration moment when this magical era of spring arrives, and we get to really enjoy sinking our feet or toes into the earth again. And as we ground, releasing any of that excess electrical activity, we also get to experience the richness of that nourishment again. So as you imagine doing that, if you're not already out of the earth doing it, I'm assuming most of you aren't. And then you can imagine that you can actually drink that earth energy in here and now, letting that earth energy rise through you, through the very core of you. And as it rises through the very essence, through the very core of you, it's linking into the eighth house. The eighth house in astrology is that of the kidney. It works with cycles of death and rebirth, along with regeneration. So this gives rise to the capacity to come alive again in a new way. And as we work here, that energy continues to rise all the way up the body, all the way into the upper trap muscles that help us to lift our shoulders up to our ears. This is a muscle of autonomy. It's a muscle where we learn to ask for help, as well as to get the help that we needed to do something on our own. So it works from both of those angles. And here we're releasing times in early childhood. It's around age two. And I just see the little one in you reaching up, looking for help up, reaching up, asking for help, reaching up, asking to be lifted up. Because you knew that's what you needed or wanted. And yet, those moments where that didn't quite happen, those moments where you might have been ignored, dismissed, not noticed for whatever reason, through potentially even no fault of your caregivers, but simply through whatever other things that they were distracted by in the moment, getting this feeling of ignored, it's actually going to release the feeling of neglect through the upper trap muscles here. And the middle trap muscle is the one that helps to bring your shoulder blades together. And as you might even be able to feel that energy now, with the middle shoulder, pardon me, with that middle upper, not, pardon, let me try again. With that middle trap muscle firing appropriately, it brings the shoulder blades together in a way that allows for just the upper trap muscle to lift the shoulders to the ears without any of the other muscles that do that. In other words, that's a very long-winded way of saying that takes out the energy of the levator scapulae that also lifts up the shoulders. That's a different thing, and we're going to actually talk about that more so on our third session. So we'll get into that territory a little bit later on. Right now, as we work with the upper traps and that feeling of neglect and abandonment, we also need to bring in the middle traps. And we're running a permission statement here, and the words are, "This is my space. This is my space." And as we work with the energy of, "This is my space," bringing in the consciousness of holding our own boundaries here, it frees up the upper traps to be able to ask for help in a way that also retains your dignity. What if you got to have both? Connection to somebody else, as well as being able to maintain dignity. And as we do that, it's releasing those times in which you thought it was shameful to ask for help or shameful to need help. I'm going to unwind that shame all the way through the connective tissue fibers of both the upper and the middle trap muscles. Okay. And as those releases through this part, also taking with it the identity, releasing this with this statement, "I am not a pain in the neck. I am not a pain in the neck." And releasing that judgment that you may have perceived through the lens of someone else, or you may have just felt internally all on your own. And as that releases, linking it into the ears, again, these are the processing centers where primarily the kidneys, the bladder is in the mix here as well. And then I'm going to invite you to breathe however feels right, potentially exaggerating the inhales and the exhales just ever so slightly as we tap this part out. And as I say that, know that there's nothing required on your end. In body talk, we periodically will tap over the three brains, the head brain, the gut brain, the heart brain, to integrate this piece. So I'm going to invite you to breathe. If you wish, you can tap along with me. Again, not required. If you are joining in on the tapping, we're tapping roughly around the crown of the head, breathing here, and then around the navel region, which is for that gut brain or enteric nervous system. And then around the heart brain. Breathing, receiving. And just giving that another round or two of breath. We're going to let that part integrate before we go into the next piece. Okay. And next up, we're going to head into the area just alongside of the spine where the bladder meridian runs. And the founder of body talk says that this is where we store our basic character, our basic personality. It's in the muscles that hang out just between the vertebrae, the little teeny tiny muscles that make up the erector spinae, the sacrospinalis. There's actually quite a few fancy names we could throw in here and know that they all refer to roughly the same area. And they give rise to, as well, from another modality, this is more body dynamic stuff, to how we position ourselves and what our stance towards life is. It represents our need, like how we're holding on to life, how we're integrating also our sense of dignity. It also helps us to like hold our head up high, so to speak, no matter what else is going on to life. And it helps us to relate to our inner life using our sense of self, as well as holding on to reality at the same time. So whenever you have like those really deep awarenesses of something like, oh, or you've been on a deep inner journey, it also allows you to maintain contact with that inside of yourself while being grounded in reality here simultaneously. So it keeps us connected to both worlds at the same time. And as we work with the erector spinae through here and the portion of the bladder meridian that it's tied into, we're also releasing, it looks like a really, really old response of people pleasing, going along to getting along. And related to also times in which you've criticized yourself for not being adequate enough, being inadequate as a people pleaser. Like, oh, I didn't do that well enough. I've got to learn how to contort myself, pretzel myself, be a chameleon even more to try to get my needs met, to relate to someone in order to get what I want. Because as long as I give them what they want, they'll be able to give me what I want. And as we work with that and the fear of being inadequate related to that, I'm going to invite you to do this one just a little bit differently. So on either side of the spine, I'm going to invite you to notice that fear around being inadequate, the fear around being an inadequate people pleaser, and the fear of potentially, if this wording helps, being unacceptable, being unacceptable. Feeling unacceptable, feeling rejected by others may also be another lens to look at that through. And as you hang out in that territory, as you notice what's here, you might notice a color, you might notice a texture, a temperature, or you might have other sensory observations that show up. And whatever's here, I invite you to take a moment to breathe into that all. And utilizing whatever senses seem to be most active in this moment, it's perfect, whatever's showing up. And that might even be an automatic knowing. You might not actually be a visual, you might not actually see or feel something that way. You might just have a sense of, I know what that is. Imagine that you can distill this now into something that you can get a bit of a handle on, some sort of like an image. And as you let that distill into an image, noticing what shows up here. And then, as you notice that image and any other sensory observations that might go with it, I invite you to imagine with a fantastical, no association with reality, imagination that gets really wild of a little one, of a small little one. And almost like an artist's paintbrush can come in, or a magician's wand gets to come on in. This image gets to magically poof, change into something else. Notice what it turns into. And whatever that's transformed into, I invite you to breathe with that. And if that image decides and it wants to transform again, that's welcome to keep happening. You're welcome to stay with that. If this feels complete, then letting that be. Letting that be. And for anything that remains, I'm gonna run circulation of all the healing resources that I mentioned earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, the chi, etc. To flush through here, giving it the resources it might need to release any last little bits. And for those of us really sensitive to sort of noticing these things, you might even see any last little bits leaving, going global, dispersing, releasing through the system. As you release those edges in these ways, We're also going to run a cellular repair, which helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health through the teeny tiny erector spinae muscles that run all the way between the vertebrae, as well as into the vertebrae themselves, into the very bone, into the very marrow of the bones, into the very holdings of the ancestral lineage, into the very depths, the core of where this began. And I see that as releasing through the family lines all toxicities of thinking that you needed to sacrifice yourself deeply in order to get what you needed, that you had to compromise your own nourishment deeply in order to survive. And as we turn the tide on that pattern that no longer serves, linking it again into the energy of the sixth house, giving rise to practical action and being in service to the health of our body minds. And as it unwinds, as it releases through the generations, womb upon womb, all the way back to source itself. It's linking now into the very blood, into the very bloodstream. And here we're running a body chemistry, which in body talk helps to support our immune system. Anytime we work with the immune system, think of it balancing out issues with rejection and acceptance. And as we run body chemistry here, it's cleaning out the toxicity of being unwanted, feeling unwanted, and with it, releasing the sense of that destabilization that occurs with that. And it occurs with the constant need to evaluate how accepted am I here, and never quite knowing if it's safe enough to just let ourselves be and land here fully. And that creates, excuse me, a pattern of hypervigilance, which we're also releasing that's been stored through the family lines, generation upon generation, through the blood. And particularly tied into the red blood cells, tied into the energy field of the red blood cells, which is similar in nature to the energy field of the heart. It forms, in fancy lingo, a double torus. Basically, it looks like a donut. And now that electromagnetic field that hangs out here, the electro is more of the electrical part. It's the masculine that goes outward, it reaches outward. Whereas the magnetic draws inward, is this is more the yin element or the feminine element of drawing things in without having to stretch or effort. And right now there's an imbalance through the red blood cells as well as the heart. There's this idea of having to always go above and beyond, putting more energy out than you're inviting back in. And we're actually going to flip the switch on that. We're going to do that by running switching technique, which works with the kidney 24 points and the switching reflex points. So that's a little bit higher than the kidney 27s. And as we work with these guys, the switching reflex points, we're also working with the other components, the eyes that are activated with the switching technique. So if I was doing switching technique from scratch, it would look like this. I'd invite you, and I'm going to invite you to do it now with me. So you go like so, placing your Peter pointer finger and your middle finger together over your eyes in a way that cushions your eyeball, pressing gently but firmly until you see spots or lights. If you do this first thing in the morning, you might even notice that you see a circle. And that circle actually indicates the healthiness of our Tajji pole that I was speaking to earlier. If the circle is complete and bright, it's a healthy thing. If it's not complete and it's kind of dull or even gray or black, then less so, might need a little extra support. And as you press gently but firmly, know that not everyone sees spots or lights. Don't keep pressing deeper if you don't see spots or lights. 10% of the population won't. The optic nerve just isn't activated that way, and that's okay. It's not wired that way. And then you're gonna slowly take your fingers off of the eyes. And I'm going to hang out with these other points, kidney 24s. If you were doing this with me, you'd start where the collarbones join the sternum. You go down and out at about a 45-degree angle or so, about an inch or so. And I'm going to tap this part out here. I'm going to invite you to again breathe and receive however feels right as we balance this all out. Then to integrate this all, we're gonna run diaphragm to intestines, and you're welcome to do this one with me too. I know that you can do this at any time. This is ongoing homework. We're gonna start by sweeping your hand from our diaphragm center of control and emotional processing down to the intestines like so. And then we're gonna tap again over the three brains. Sweep and tap. You can sweep and tap at the same time if you like. And in body talk, this helps emotional processing along with integration. The other thing that we often use to support folks is body talk cortices, and you can find that information also on my website, vibranttransformation.com. It's on the very bottom of every single page on my entire website. It's on the footer, and I'll pop it on into the chat feature here for you to learn from as well. And as we bring this all in for a nice soft landing, I have a short song to play for you, and I'm going to invite you to invite in that resource one more time that you found earlier. And you're welcome to simply breathe with a song. You're welcome to sit still and lay, or you're welcome to even move and groove if that feels supportive for you. The song is the same as the album. It's called I Am Blessed, and it comes from an artist, Desiree Dawson. And you'll be able to hear that shortly. I'm just going to turn down my volume so I don't blast anybody's eardrums. There we go. Invitation to
I am
breathe.
blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, this life has shown me all kinds of stress and also opened up my heart like the greatest treasure chest. I have grown. Yes, I have grown. And I'm finding my way home. Yes, I have grown. And I'm finding my way home, yes, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, this life has shown me all kinds of stress and also opened up my heart like the greatest treasure chest. I have grown. Yes, I have grown, and I'm finding my way home. Yes, I have grown, and I'm finding my way home. Yes, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, this life has shown me all kinds of stress. So open up my heart like the greatest treasure chest. I have grown. Yes, I have grown. And I'm finding my way home. Yes, I have grown. And I'm finding my way home. Yes, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, this life has shown me all kinds of stress and also opened up my heart like the greatest treasure chest. I have grown. Yes, I have grown. And I'm finding my way home. Yes, I have grown. And I'm finding my way home. even when I'm here feeling like a mess. I am blessed, yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, this life has shown me all kinds of stress and also opened up my heart like the greatest treasure chest. I have grown, yes, I have grown, and I'm finding my way home. Yes, I have grown. Finding my way home, yes, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, this life has shown me all kinds of stress and also opened up my heart like the greatest treasure chest. I am I have grown, and I'm finding my way home. Yes, I have grown, and I'm finding my way home. Yes, I am blessed. Yeah, I am blessed. Even when I'm here feeling like a mess, I am blessed.
Thank you all so much for joining in today. And if anyone has any questions, comments, queries, you're welcome to pop them on into the chat feature. And I will stick around. I will formally close, though, as I know I'm slightly past the 75-minute mark. And as we come to a close, thank you again for sharing your time, your energy in these ways. And if there is anything in particular, question-wise, that I think is really interesting to speak to, I'll also tie it in to next week. So those of you that need to dash off, no worries. I'll make sure to include it on the recorded material and the live material for our next day as well. Okay. Yeah, you're most welcome, everybody. Have yourself a fabulous rest of your day. And I look forward to diving on into anger next day. So we're meeting on Sunday, May 28th. Same time, 11 a.m. MDT, transforming anger into momentum and movement. Okay. Mwah. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Blessings on the rest of your day, y'all. Okay. Bye for now, loves. Oh, I'm so glad it was just for you, that session. I'm so glad it felt really powerful for you. Yay. So common. We tend to hear that all the time in this work. Okay. All right. Mwah.